got to know where this guy at all times. There he is again.
How about three in a row? Going down. That was close.
Oh, shit. You got to hit the alpha.
No.
You know it's going to be a problem. You already know. Nah, I just like to line up my cut, my little baldy. I'm excited. We're back. It's High Volume Shooter, episode one of the 23-24 season. I'm going to bring this to you multiple times a week. And sometimes it's going to be short form. Sometimes it's going to go longer. I'm never going to waste your time. I'm just going to give you what I got, and we're just going to keep it rolling, man. So I'm excited. Welcome back. You'll find it on all podcast platforms, High Volume Shooter. I don't know how you subscribe, hit the bell, all that stuff, man. Let's start in Brooklyn. Cavs, Nets, Donovan Mitchell, one of the coldest daggers I've seen in a while. About 20 seconds left, down a basket. He comes off a screen headed right to the right wing of the three-point line. Cleveland's defense jumps it, hard hedges it, and there's a bang-bang push-off play with one of their wings. Was it Struce? It was somebody. And no call. Donovan squares the hips, knocks the three ball down, leaves the gooseneck, and kind of walks towards the basket as he hits it and kind of lets the crowd know, like, shh, shh, right? I had no problem with the no call. It was bang-bang. He didn't extend out. Again, the dude tried to jump out ahead of him turning the corner, and there was just a collision. So I was fine with the no call. Now you got 10 seconds left. So it wasn't exactly a walk-off shot, but it was a dagger, right? The storyline was young Cam Thomas, 36 points off the bench for the Brooklyn Nets, man. Cam Thomas is a bucket, right? I mean, what a genius take there, Alk. No, you know who he kind of reminds me of? Do you remember Marcus Thornton? Most of his days were spent for the Sacramento Kings. Same kind of build. I think Cam might be a little bigger. Same type of build, but the same type of game. A two-footed jumper. And Cam Thomas, like Marcus Thornton, once he got to that 2 feet, the way he could elevate to his shot was very tough. And Cam Thomas has an elite pull-up game, right? He gets to his 2 feet, and he explodes up so well, with so much burst, he can turn his hips, he can be in all sorts of weird angles and still get off clean shots at what, like 6'4", 6'5", right? I think the problem with that style overall is, I mean, go look at the highlights of his 36. They're all tough shots. Pretty much all of them are tough shots. He does get to the cup well too. He mixed it up, but he doesn't shoot that many threes. A bunch of midi contested pull-ups, and it looks good in game one, right? But 82 games and ideally into a playoff series or two, right? It's very demanding on your legs and your stamina. So as a young fellow with a lot of burst in his legs, he's a bucket. But I think that, you know, that style of play is destined to be a microwave scorer, a Jamal Crawford, a Lou Will, right? And so Don hits that huge dagger three, Cleveland with 10 seconds left, and Jacques Vaughn, he called it, it's a broken play. For whatever reason, Cam Thomas isn't comfortable with the read. It's some sort of handoff with Finney Smith, and he ends up just taking like a fadeaway three. They don't get the shot they want. And to me, Jacques Vaughn needs to recognize who Cam Thomas is, right? I just told you who he was. And so you got to, when you want a last play drop for a player like that, you got to treat him like Tom Hanks. Leave him on an island to cook. Right? Leave him on an island to cook. Don't bring screens and confuse things. Let him do what he does, because you saw what happened. And so Donovan and the Cavs end up getting the win on the road in Brooklyn. Evan Mobley disappointed me. I had him as a pick in my underdog fantasy last night as making a three. Now, that was a little bit ambitious, but hear me out. Hear my thought process here. You assume all offseason, it's like, all right, Mobley's going to work on the confidence in the jumper. And you know, as a modern big, especially with Jared Allen there, like you're going to have to shoot threes, bro. You're going to have to do it. Dude took 10 shots. Didn't shoot a three, didn't 10 shots. Now, granted, Garland and Mitchell, you know, not shy, letting it go, right? That's going to eat up a lot of shots, that backcourt. But to me, if Mobley is going to be this passive offensively, it's going to drastically lower his ceiling. You know, so many people are excited about him in his rookie year, but there's a passiveness and a lack of thirst offensively. And if he's not going to spread the floor and be the modern big we trajectored that we projected him to be, again, the ceiling is going to be lower. He kind of reminds me of KG, not nearly, the motor in the juice as far as like the train, all that, but in the sense of same built and same kind of passiveness offensively. KG, even in his prime, was perfectly fine scoring like 12 points, which is a testament to how well he fit with those Celtics big three, right? But, you know, Mobley disappointing. He blew up my little pick'em last night. So did Poole. I ain't gonna speak on Poole today. I'm gonna let that breathe. But Ben Simmons, you know what? He almost had a double-double. I didn't watch the entire game. Here's what I'll say about Ben Simmons is, you know, he looks fast end-to-end again with the ball. And we can talk about the psychology of Ben and his mental state, which hand he should be shooting with. Is he going to shoot, right? But the one thing that during the several attempts to come back over these last few years that stuck out the most was like, yo, he's not fast with the ball anymore. And that was his calling card and his signature, a 6'10", 6'11 guy that, you know, could get up and down the court with like De'Aaron Fox. Now, Fox is probably the fastest, but, he wasn't far behind for a guy that big. That was his calling card. He looks fast again end to end. So I think that is a huge key to his confidence in playmaking skills. And hell, Cam Thomas fits perfectly with him. That roster fits pretty good with him. Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cam Thomas, all don't necessarily, well, Cam Thomas needs the ball, but Bridges and Cam Johnson, they don't really need the ball and let Ben push the ball and kind of spray it to him for shots. So we'll see, but Cleveland steals that one in Brooklyn opening night. Let's go to San Antonio and Dallas in Wembanyama's debut. Early foul trouble really took him out of things. Grant Williams is a funky matchup for him, right? Grant Williams is kind of a funky matchup for a lot of people in the league. How strong and how low center of gravity is for a big, kind of. He's kind of a big. He guards bigs, right? And then he's just an odd matchup, right? So that wasn't, you know, surprising to see him get in foul trouble. Jeremy Sochan is a wild boy, right? And you see this tall ball that Pop has rolled out there. Sochan is kind of like, what is he? It's like if Oubre and Rondo had a baby, you know, like, but hopefully he's a little more Rondo than Oubre. But, you know, him at playing the point guard or this big point forward position, he's just a little too shot happy. He's a little overambitious with the type of shots he likes to take. I can see the playmaking. I see that part of his game, but you'd like him to be a little more conservative with his own shot making. And there were several times where Wemby was like visibly frustrated, like, give me the ball, fam. Give me the ball. Like, you don't know what this is. You ain't look around here yet. You know what I mean? Like, and then it dawned on me that, you know, it could be on purpose. Like, they know they're trying to accelerate his playmaking, and they're just willing to live with the fact that, you know, it's going to be rough and they don't necessarily have to win right now. Who's grooming Pop, by the way? Like, is he using a Floby? I'm trying to scroll my notes here. Bear with me with the new setup I have. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I don't know if it's the Floby or what, but the other thing that I wanted to talk about with San Antonio was Devin Vassell, Florida State. Y'all know I liked him that year coming out of Florida State. I think it's time we acknowledge coming. Florida State has a type, right? There, like, that's a thing. Terrence Mann, Devin Vassell, Scotty Barnes, and the list is continuing to grow. When you get a kid out of Florida State, they're going to defend. They're going to play with a high motor, right? And it's starting to become a little bit of a factory down there, which is kind of surprising, but it is what it is. He's just getting better and better and better, where he looks like he could be Wemby's sidekick. And, you know, I really like him. Now, Wemby was, what do you have, like 6 points. I think he made like 2 threes, but he had only played like 15 minutes. He comes back in the fourth quarter, like 7-8 minutes to go. They're down a little bit, and he starts getting buckets. And the way the crowd responded was wild. Like, you can feel the hope in the city of San Antonio around Wembanyama. It was cool to just see the crowd and that atmosphere of him getting going. And I think what's even more important is clearly he wants the ball in the clutch, you know? And listen, there's a lot of guys in the NBA that want the ball in the clutch that shouldn't. It's like, no, fam, that ain't for you, right? Sohan, probably. But that's so important for someone of his status. We just got done talking about Mobley. Mobley don't want the ball at all. You know what I mean? So I think it's very important that crunch time, clearly Wemby wants the ball. That's you can see how effective and how unstoppable he can be once they figure out how to get him the ball in his spots. But Grant Williams was all in his shit, was all up under his hips, right? Here's the thing. They're going to lose a lot of games in the final 2 minutes. Now, they have Trey Jones, one of the Jones brothers, point guards, right? But they're very young overall, and you can tell they're going to hang. They got a lot of good things going for them, but I think they're going to have a hard time closing games. They're going to take a lot of lumps in the final 2 minutes, and you saw that against this much more experienced Luka team. Luka, did you see the cop handlebar mustache? Why he looks like a cop out there? It's so funny how every summer it's like, oh, Luka's in the gym, look how fit he is, and then he shows up and he's got the same physique, right? But he's got the same dominant game. And look, to me, I've probably said this several times, but Luka is clearly the best of the young players. Now, I don't know quite where to put Jokic. I feel like Jokic is like off in his own, like, he's at the top right now, right? We got to give him that, but he's not, what is he, 28? So I guess technically you could call him a young player, but I'm not putting Jokic in this list. I'm talking about Tatum, Booker, Ja, Ant, Trae Young, you know, like that list, like the under 30s of these young stars. To me, if you're saying all things are even, they're all healthy in this conference finals, it's a playoff conference finals, give me Luka. You know, and they all have question marks, right? They all like Luka's durability and his, again, his willingness to be in shape, right? His longevity and for being in shape. They all have questions, but give me Luka right now. Derek Lively Jr. Listen, when I pride myself on this, we all have misses, but when I have actual time to really dig into a prospect, I rarely miss. Y'all know that I wanted Derek Lively, and he already, opening night, looks better than half the centers in the league. Like the true big men, like true seven-footers, he's already looks better than half of them, right? And 16-10, 31 minutes off the bench. Kid concerns me with some of his relationships. Like he seems to hold grudges against his players at times, so I don't know. But he seems committed to Lively. More importantly, the fit with Luka. And what you saw was, and as he adjusts to playing with Luka and his rhythm and stuff like that, what Luka started doing that was super slick was he would gather with one hand and like show the ball as he takes his gather steps. And what it would do was it was letting Lively track the ball before it was out of his hands. Because you know how Luka will pump, he'll pump fake this way. He fools the defense so well, sometimes he fools his own teammates as far as like where the ball is going to go. And so he started showing the ball early and extending it out. And what it was doing was it was letting Lively track the ball before he actually threw the lob. And then what it also did was you haven't probably seen him have that many lobs. It preserves Luka. He has 4 or 5 plays where he can just get downhill and just flip up the lob. That's less energy spent. And then there was a couple times where he kind of, the vertical threat of the lob, let him just cruise in and flip in a layup without all the like irking and jerking and pump faking. So it's a match made in heaven, and I'm salty. I'm a little salty. Look, I think we're kind of overlooking this Mavericks team. I had already brought up Grant Williams and the unique matchups that he presents. He had 17, a couple big threes down the stretch, guarded Wemby, gave him troubles. And, you know, it makes you, you know, I know people are excited about Boston and Jrue Holiday in this, but you could make the argument they lost their three toughest players, Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, and Rob Williams. To me, were kind of the tough guys, the physical, dirty work guys. You lost all three of them. That's not to say they haven't added more talent, but, you know, that's what I was thinking about watching Grant in the fit with Dallas. I think it's a great fit, not only on the court, but as someone we know, he's kind of a weird personality, an annoying guy in a way, right? But you need that. You need that. You need someone that's not afraid to challenge Luka, another player, right? Kyrie's so full of shit and woo-woo. He'd be too passive-aggressive and subtle with whatever message he was trying to get across to Luka. You need a guy on the team that's not afraid to say, hey, Luka, man, you're playing like a slob right now, bro. Like, pick it up. And so I think that's important. And I think we're kind of overlooking the moves that Dallas has made and where they can land in this Western Conference if Kyrie decides to play all season long. Detroit almost stole one in Miami last night down in South Beach. They lost by one. They were trailing the whole game, and they almost stole it. You know, they had a late rally. Cade Cunningham, 30 ball, 4 of 8 from three-point range. And that's the story with him. First off, is he healthy? Because he did have the leg or the shin injury or whatever it was. But if the three ball can be where you hope it would be, everything else is there for him to take a step into being like, hell, maybe even an all-star. We know guys get robbed out of that every year, but he should be in the conversation this year. And so they rallied there and almost stole that game. The other stat of note, Kyle Lowry, one shot attempt, 0 points in 32 minutes. Damn, right? But what about James Wiseman? DNP coach's decision. He's not even in the rotation. He's not even in the rotation. And listen, here is my advice to you Wiseman stands. Here's what it is. It's like LeBron's hair, right? Just have some dignity and let it go. Let's let it go. I'm willing to let it go. Y'all let it go, okay? Nah, man. What else? What else around the league? The Bulls, shout out to the Bulls for having the quickest players-only meeting in the history of the league. One game in, they've got a players-only meeting where things are getting heated. That's wild, right? LaVine, DeMar, someone in the Patreon I saw had brought up, hey, let's go get DeMar DeRozan. I'm going to pass on that. It doesn't make sense. I think it may make sense for some teams. I don't think it makes sense for us. But, you know, did you see? Listen, OKC came in there and clapped him, by the way. Like, part of it was OKC just ran him over. The one thing that made me nervous was Chet Holmgren, one game in, damn near lost his left leg. Did you see Drummond cross him up? He almost lost his leg. Look that highlight up. That was freaky. But the OKC rolled him in their home opener. The three names that I would say as the vultures are going to start to circle this Bulls roster early on that aren't big money guys. So Patrick Williams is apparently he wants a max deal. It's like, fam, who, like, get rid of some of these kids, bro. I don't know what to tell you. But Caruso, obviously, we've flirted with for a couple years now. That would be awesome, even though we are guard heavy. But Torrey Craig would make sense if you could just poach him for cheap, right? And then Andre Drummond, not very Warriors-like, but we talk about getting another big body, bouncy body, and, you know, say what you want about his goofiness. He is one of the best rebounders of this generation. That's what the numbers say. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on last night's games. You can't watch them all, right? I did miss some stuff here. I saw Zion was bouncing around in Memphis, but I got to catch him at another time. I did want to close out with some 49er thoughts, because when was it, Tuesday? I wasn't aware of it for a while. I don't know when the news broke. Brock Purdy is in concussion protocol. Apparently, it was the QB sneak in that late drive where when he tried to go over the top of the pile, he got hit horizontally to the helmet. And Purdy is so stoic and so tough. Did y'all notice it? Like, the telecast didn't catch it. I didn't catch it. I rewatched it the next day for the breakdown. He hit it very well. But now he's in concussion protocol. The hit was nasty. When you see the top down view of it, it's out there now. And it kind of, look, it kind of excuses the pick, doesn't it? I mean, it's kind of an excuse. You know, whether it's right or wrong, if he was concussed, yeah, he started throwing the ball all over the field uncharacteristically inaccurately, right? So now Sam Darnold is set to start. Who are we playing? The Bengals? The Bengals are coming into San Jose or wherever that stadium is. I ain't been out there. Listen, would you be surprised if Darnold balls out and then Kyle all of a sudden is talking about, well, I haven't named the starter for Jacksonville, right? Like Kyle is a quarterback slut. We know this. Kyle is a quarterback slut. And so the stage is set for more quarterback controversy. Sam Darnold, what was he, the number 2-3 pick? Big, thick, coastal kid, right? As Colin Cowherd called him, big, thick, trunk. But you know, I'm kind of intrigued to see Darnold in part because of how intrigued Kyle seems to be with Darnold, right? Now, I doubt that he can match Purdy between the ears and in the chest. When you talk about like fearlessness, heart, and the way he's, you know, reads the field and all that stuff. But however, in a quarterback friendly offense with these weapons, maybe he can make up for it with his arm and physical attributes. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Kyle also, you know, kind of threw Steve Wilks under the bus, talking about, yeah, you can't call that blitz with 16 seconds and a half. You can't do that, you know? And I think we all know that. It's not what he said. It's that you usually don't say that to the media, right? You don't say to the media, like, yeah, he's, you know, and imagine Steve Wilks is like 20 years his senior, probably not 20, but, you know, that's interesting, right? That raises some flags. I don't think you can you could. It happens. I can't say that. I was going to say, I don't think you can fire him in the middle of the season. It's not that you couldn't do it. It's just like, who could you bring in, right? That's tough. To me, listen, now is the time, Bosa. Now is the time, Brody. Like, it's time for you to turn up, okay? You held out. You got to get in shape. And, like, it's just been a little bit alarming. I know the PFF numbers say that Bosa's still elite, but the eye test says that the motor isn't the same. He's just not getting into the backfield like he did. And to me, I fully endorse the deal, man. Like, I would have never thought it would have been Bosa who got paid and all of a sudden just doesn't have that same energy. And so now, you know, a two-game skid, people questioning the defense, the defensive coordinator. Now is the time for Bosa to have a big impact game. Hell, last week was the time, if you want to be honest, against Kirk Cousins. But I don't know what they do to generate more pressure. Do you bring Armstead back to the edge? I don't have an answer for it, but I'm very intrigued and curious to see Sam Darnold in this offense. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode. Tonight, Lakers-Suns. KD told him, don't put Reeves on me. He too small. We'll see, man. I'm telling you, KD, the hips, when you're 7 foot, and that's what I'm seeing, because I'm not the only one. People are like, yeah, KD looked kind of rough, right? He looking like he lost a step. But to me, what it is the hips. He looks like he's having a hard time bending his hips and kind of, not that he ever played low, right? But your hips are everything as an athlete, whether it's a basketball, baseball, football, right? And it seems like, what is he, 35, right? The hips are getting stiff on him. So let's see if he has a bounce back game against this Lakers team tonight. I'm out, Joe.